Greetings, fine gentlemen. We are live, praise God. Tuesday. What a time to be alive. Copperstar, welcome, fine sir. Fellow kings and elephant riders, as it were. I was watching a documentary on Roman Britain, and one of the absolute legendary generals. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Caesar, but it was one of the Romans. He decided to ride into England on an elephant. Very prestigious. Mogging people, I'm sure. John Knoll, welcome. Fine, sir. Wonderful to have you on. So, gentlemen, yesterday's stream was quite good in getting to a point where we got to a point of all of our processing and chatting around on how once you understand that you're not voting your way out of a multicultural liberal democracy, the true work of tribal institution building can start. You know, that is what our great trouble is, you know, at present, is that we don't have a tribe. Copperstar, I walk far, and everywhere I go is Rome. My goodness, it's poetry. Our Anglosphere, our Christendom has been so detribalized, deracinated, derooted, disinherited, cut off from our roots, cut off from our history, cut off from our people and our place, and shoved into nihilistic individualism. And so we don't have, you know, we keep operating. Robert Stark wrote a phenomenal article or blog post that I shared on Twitter about pan-enclavism. I mean, he's a California guy who, I think he's accepted the multicultural nature of our current empire and has basically got to the work of saying, well, it is what it is. So can we get some of that enclave? You know, can we do some diaspora / enclave / you know, tribalism ourselves? Thank you, baby. As you guys can tell, I've almost overcome my coof. But it still helps to have some herbal hotness. So Robert writes a really good article where he was basically like, you know, he describes a bit about the tribal resource wars that is a multicultural democracy. You know, a multicultural democracy has ethnic voting blocks. It has interests of tribal groups. And the only people who are not allowed to do that are white people, are the host. You know, ooh, bad, naughty, you know. Even thinking about this whole thing of like, is it okay to be white? And it's like, well, no. You know, politically, no, it's not okay. It's not okay to have interests as a white person. It's not okay to have in-group preference politically. You know, we've lost the levers of politics, you know. So this whole thing of like hoping for a savior, you know, that's what happened in 2016. We were all, myself included, we're all so, you know, delighted and, oh, our guy, he's going to save us. Our guy, you know, our guy got voted in. And when you understand the nature of bureaucracy, you know, of unelected, you know, the deep state, you know, but lifetime bureaucracy of people who are not elected to political levers of power, but are occupy jobs, occupy desks, you know, the bureau, there's French, le bureau. Drongo, good evening, brother. You know, you have these people who occupy desks. And it's like, oh, well, they're not the president, you know. It's like, no, you could literally be a DMV lady and occupy a seat of power towards the people who have to process through your desk, you know. You can sit on people's papers forever. You can lose people's papers. You can deny people. You can approve people. Like, you have bureaucracy power. Copper Star, personally, I thought Trump was the Pompeii that would draw out our Caesar. Well, there's still time. Fine, sir. Afro NRX, welcome. Good evening. So we have this entrenched bureaucracy. You don't vote out bureaucracy. Then you start talking about currency, the Federal Reserve, banking, the corporate oligarchy. You don't vote them out, you know, and that's a huge, you know, like big pharma, like big ag, you know, big bank, big property, big Wall Street, like, you know, big airline, like, you know, all of these corporate oligarchical powers, these power levers, you know, you don't vote your guy in and be like, yeah, our guy's in. And it's like, well, now big tech, you know, big Google and big Facebook and you know, like you have all of these corporate powers, these corporate interests that are not our interests. Our interests are different. You know, they are not, you know, it's not like you have a bunch of billionaires who are all raging Anglophiles. You know, I love my people. I love my place. And by God, I'm going to use my fortune to serve my people and my place. It's like, nope, like, I don't think there's, you know, I don't, even when people are like, oh, but Scott, my pillow guy. Yeah, my pillow guy. And the Donald, you know, both corporate oligarchs who love our people, love our place. And it's like, no, like, no, no. Like, they're still just as much as part of the liberal boomer, you know, get everything in China problem. You know, anyone can be an American as long as they do it legally problem. You know, they're not our guys. They're not traditional Christian nationalists. You know, so that's a lever of power that you never, you know, voting's not going to change that. Voting's not going to change the Fed. It's not going to change the IRS. Excuse me. And then when it comes to the police and the military and the justice system, you know, that's, again, it's a form of bureaucracy, right? Because all of those positions of power, you know, you even look, you know, the videos coming out of Australia where the police are enforcing these demonic, crazy mandates. And, you know, there's that video of that one guy is like, hey, man, like, what are you doing? And the guy's like, look, man, I'm on your side, but like, I've got a family to feed. And it's like, you know, the cops are going to go and break skulls to make sure that the mandates are enforced so that they can put food on their table. That's a form of power, you know, that this NPC, you know, it's just following orders. It's like, well, whoever gives the orders has power, you know? So whoever the police chiefs are, whoever the commissioners are, whoever the sheriffs are, whoever the judges are, like, that's a seat of power. You're not going to vote, you know, you're not going to vote that out. And of course you want to, like, of course go vote for the sheriff. Of course go vote for the judge. Of course, you know, show up and vote. Like, of course go and vote. Like, still go and vote, you know, because there's a certain sect of libertarian / ANCAP who's like, by voting you give your consent to the system, you know? And it's like, sure. But on a local level, of course, go vote for your sheriff. Of course, go vote for the judge. Of course, go vote for the commissioners and the councils and the boards and everything. Of course, you know, it's local. And of course, you know, if the machine, we don't know, you know, it's probable. But still, go vote. That's fine. Go vote. You know, in South Africa right now, they're gearing up for the vote in South Africa. And of course, the media, right? So the media, I've got a fly harassing me, just like the media. The media, again, you know, that's a power system that you're not going to vote out. You know, so in South Africa right now, the media are like, man, they're picking every bloody little rock and leaf over to try and find racism, because, you know, that's how you control the vote. You know, it's like, all right, oh, you know, the party that's most dangerous to our interests, they're a bloody bunch of racists, let me tell you. And they kicked a dog. They bloody took a dog and they kicked it. We care about dogs, except if it's in America and there's things happening with dogs in America. Now, you know, that's just, it's science. You've got to trust the science. But in South Africa, that guy kicked a bloody dog and he liked anything. Like, you know, like MAGA hat boy smirked at an Indian, poor Indian veteran. You know, it's like, they'll find something. They'll find anything. You're not going to vote the media out, but they are a power lever, right? They are a power lever to control the normies, because the normies are like, oh my God, oh, you know, the news, hysteria, outrage, you know? And so we ourselves mustn't get caught up in that. Like, don't watch the news, you know? My wife and I were just chatting earlier, and it's like, we the politicians aren't ours, you know. Even the political party that is supposed to represent Christian traditionalist nationalist interests, they don't. They are a grifting gatekeeping mechanism, you know. Ted Cruz, it's like Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk, like that. That is the face of this conservative, you know, bloody Crenshaw. Let me tell you, you know. And it's like you're like, oh God, please save us. And it's like they're not going to save you. They're not going to save you. They're just as controlled by the media. They're just as controlled by the corporatists as the NPCs. So there's no use. I was chatting to my wife about this. There's no use in even scrolling the timeline and someone sharing news of like DeSantis did this. And it's like, yeah, it's nice to know that there's no mandates in Texas or Florida. It's nice to know that. How does it change your life? It doesn't. You know, if you're worried about mandates, you're already working locally. You're already working tribally. It doesn't matter what some cuck politician is doing. It doesn't matter what outrage the media or demoralization or deception the media is running. Stop watching that crap, you know? And then when it comes to academia and ministry, likewise, it's like the big ministry, you know, like the cultural zeitgeist of the church right now, it's controlled. You're not going to vote that out. You know, same with academia, the zeitgeist of academia. Academia is all bought and paid for by corporate interests. You know, who's funding the university? It's like, oh, Scott, actually, I'll have you know that the universities actually have their own hedge funds of trillions of dollars. It's like, how did it get that way? How did it get that way? They have interests that are not ours. So when you see all of the domains, when you see all of the power and culture domains, institutions, that we don't control them, we don't have a stake in them, we don't even have a open door to them. That's when, you know, you'll watch these documentaries about the Fed, or you'll watch these documentaries, you know, about how the election was stolen. You're like, you know, like all sad music and black pill and like, oh God, like despair and oh Lord, you know, and one world government and microchip and, you know, and you start like all despair and stuff. And it's like, no, chaps, that's completely the wrong frame. It's completely the wrong frame. It's good to watch those documentaries to reinforce the frame that we don't focus on empire. We don't focus on globalism. We don't focus on individualism and nihilism because we have no stake there. They are not ours anymore. The institutions are not ours. Thank you for reminding me, Mr. Documentary Maker, making me feel all despair and stuff. Like, thank you for reminding me. But I have a whole life over here. I have a whole life that is patriarchal, local, and tribal. You know, and when you realize that you don't own the institutions anymore. When you realize that the police is no longer yours, you stop going to the police. When you realize that the schools are no longer yours, you stop sending your kids to the schools. When you realize that the media is no longer yours, you stop watching the media. When you realize that the politicians don't have your interests, you stop caring about the politicians. You know, it's like that is the start of tribal ascendancy. And it's like, no way. Like, we're going to have our own people. We're going to have our own interests. We're going to have our own in-group, you know? And it's like, that's when tribal institution building can start, is when you stop going to the enemy's businesses. You know, you stop shopping at the enemy's businesses. You start finding friends or tribe members who can fulfill those orders, who can fulfill those needs. You're like, oh, well, Scott, actually, we don't have a guy to fulfill that. I have to go to China. I have to go to Walmart. And it's like, hello, ding, 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 business opportunity. Your tribe is crying out for that thing to be fulfilled tribally. Like, do you not see how much of a white pill that is? Like, oh my gosh, my guys need toilet paper and ammo, and they're getting it from China. I wonder if I could produce toilet paper and ammo. What a business opportunity. Like, if you're a business guy, if you're an economy guy, fill the needs of your tribe. And it's like, you know, this whole thing of like academia, or even take the medical system right now, right? We have nurses and doctors who are our guys who are like, oh no, the big pharma and the mandates and the hospital system. And it's like, freaking, let's have our own subscription medical service. Let's have our own insurance system. Let's have our own nurses on call and house calls again. Let's look after our guys. Give your gift to the tribe and the tribe rewards you. You know, it's like huge white pill, because you're building your own thing. You know, and so a good example of this as well in South Africa is the Afrikaners. The Afrikaners, you know, in a liberal multicultural democracy, of which South Africa is so far a shining light, a beacon on a hellhole, if you will, in a beacon in a hellhole, if you will, of multicultural liberal democracy. The Afrikaners are never going to vote themselves out of that. Build yourself out of the cultural decay around you. You don't vote your way out. You build your way out. And so the Afrikaners, you know, they've started advocacy groups. They've started economic networks. They've started banking they've started institutions together with in-group preference, you know. And it's like that gives you an enormous hope for the future. It gives you enormous like belonging, you know, of like, I'm a card-carrying member of my tribal institution, baby. And it's like, like, sweet, you're part of a gang, part of a cartel now. And the drug that we sell is hope, let me tell you. It's bloody Amish. Now, that's a cartel, if I've ever seen one. SS officers in plain clothes. Just stick an eagle on that bad boy, and you've got Hans. He's ready to go. Drongo, these lobbies are all named like fat East Coast rappers. Afro-NRX, I always felt the Afrikaner elites abandoned their people in 1994. Might be playing out the same in the US, a compromise that hurts the people. Of course it is. You know, you're not willing. You know, you read a lot of stuff that went on during 1989, 1991, on the cusp of the handover. Huge intervention going on from Britain and America, you know, of, you know, how many of these guys were paid off? You know, how much money was changing hands and like book deals and Nobel Prizes and, you know, guarantees of, you know, interests were to look after mining and gold resource, you know, the resource oligarchs in South Africa. Like that's the only interests that was being looked after. And it's like, well, a multicultural democracy, that means we don't have to have trade embargoes, and we can get our resources back on the world stage, and we'll control the blacks. We'll control them. We've got our people who control the blacks, you know? And it's like, it's that simple. And it's like, well, you're not going to do that because the Afrikaners are standing in the way. And it's like, well, we've got our Afrikaners. We control some Afrikaners. We'll do what we want because we've got the money. We've got the gold and the diamonds and the everything else that is valuable to trade. You know, and you can even argue of like, has the man improved in South Africa? Of course not. You know, of course, the top 1,000 black men, oh, they're bloody on the gravy train. Good for them. You know, how do I get in on that? Could I please get, you know, you see some of these, you see some of these contracts that the government gives for guys to like go build a school hall or go build like a soccer field. And it's like $15 million for a soccer field with two goals that aren't even standing upright. You know, and it's like, can I be a contractor, please? Okay. My surname is actually Dlamini. Let me tell you, you know, it's like good on them. Good on them. They've learned how to milk the system and milk it they have. But do they care for their people? No, of course they don't. The interests of the majority of whatever their tribe is, you know, of the Zulus, of the Xhosas, of whatever tribe in South Africa, they don't care about the interests of their people. You know, the people are just there as a tool. The NPC is a tool in the hands of power, you know. So, so all of that being said, Afro-NRX, yeah, the Afrikaner elites abandon their people. Yeah, same thing has happened in the whole Anglosphere. Drongo, your boy Big Tech. Very good. Very good. A fat East Coast rapper, your boy Big Tech. Copper Star, democracy is gay and fake. John Knoll, the great thing is that as we build, we can also trust that God will hear our prayers and these institutions will fall when he wills it. Goodbye, Big Ag, Big Gov, Big Pharma, etc. Yeah, exactly that, man. That is the big white pill. You know, in listening to all these documentaries, you're like, you know, what is it that God, you know, our there's nothing new under the sun. History rhymes and repeats. And so you look back, you know, you look back through the cycles, you know, of history, and it's like, what was God doing with his people, with his remnant, you know? And it's like, God won't let his remnant disappear. God won't let his church be shattered and broken and, you know, oh God. It's like, no, no, no. Like, chaps, I fully expect the blessing of God. I fully expect, you know, our enemies to be crushed under our heel. And it's exactly that. It's like, it's not going to happen through voting, you know? It's going to happen through creating our own parallel levers of power and culture, tribal institution building, you know? It comes through this thing of like, what is the vehicle that receives God's blessing? You know, I think, John, we messaged back and forth on this of like, Deuteronomy 28 is not an individual blessing. Deuteronomy 28 is a blessing upon a patriarch and tribe. And it's like, tribal institutions are the vehicle for God to confront wickedness in the world. You know, and our tribe is going to be a tribe known for the blessing of God, known for we are a righteous people who God has blessed and protected. You know, so I'm, you know, you laugh at all these, you know, the way that God comes through for all of these patriarchs in the Bible, you know, of like, no ways. Like, but it's like, you know, you put any of us in that position and like the amount of despair, you know, the amount of despair and the news media and all the deception and demoralization. And, you know, you got to cut all that crap out and then take God at his word. I've got to fly. Drongo. Yes, I don't vote for this very reason. Copperstar, normies believe in GOP, we trust. John Noel, that's right. Those alt media things just keep people distracted. Yeah. So, you know, and excuse me. And I think it's very important, you know, because a lot of guys would be offended. Like, oh, how dare you not vote, you bastard. You're selling the rest of us out. You know, if everyone who just didn't vote, voted, you know, then we, and it's like, I can see, you know, I'm for voting. I think voting, you know, like, hey, let's see what, especially locally. But it's like, if it's true that these voting machines just, you know, if 90 million had turned out for the Donald, well, guess what? You know, they would have found 91 million for the other guy, you know? And so it's like, rigger's gonna rig. And so, you know, on that scale, you know, sure. I think if you go knowing that it's gay, if you go knowing that's it, you have to go and vote knowing that this means literally nothing. You have to have all of your focus on patriarchal, local, tribal. Praise God. So the next thing that I wanted to chat about, talent and then scale of network. This is the next thing that you know, because a lot of guys were like, okay, Scott, I get it. Like, I'm no longer an individualist. I'm no longer a nihilist. Like, I'm all on board. Let's get on the tribe train. But then you get a bit demoralized because you're not a 10 talent guy. I'm not Donald. You know, I'm not Charlie Kirk. You know, I don't have the resources of Charlie Kirk. I don't have Ben Shapiro's sweet gig. And so you get demoralized, you know, or you're like, okay, tribe is great. Like, tribe, you know, is this like 7,000 dudes? Do we have a network of 7,000 guys? And it's like, I don't even have four guys, you know, and you get demoralized, right? So scale of talent and scale of network. And I think this is where, again, it's a super wide pill. If you take God at his word, you know, don't despise mere beginnings. When it comes to the scale of your talent, even if you're a one talent guy, you know, don't bury your talent, give your talent at your talent. What is your domain? You know, are you an academia guy? Well, give your gift there. You know, if you're working at some clown world university, plunder it, you know, make life hell for the devil, make life hell for the clowns. And then also take whatever you can get. Like, if they're paying you, make sure your money's not piddling away. And like, let's build tribal economy with that money. You know, let's, you know, use everything in our lives towards building a tribe, you know? And it's like, I'm just a one talent guy. I've just got this little job somewhere. It's like, no, what is your domain? You know? And if you're a gray man, if you're working in clown world, plunder it, have a plunder mindset, friend enemy. Remember, friend enemy. So I'm working for my enemy. Well, I'm going to work for the good of my tribe. I'm going to work for the strengthening of my tribe. And then within that, like, make sure that you are working towards your domain, you know? So again, like I say, academia or media or ministry, you know, or military, p- police, justice system, economy, business, property, banking, finance, and then government and bureaucracy. Whatever your domain is, whatever your kind of gifting is of like, man, that is what gives me passion. That is what I love to work at. That's the gift I want to give to my people. Make sure you're moving towards that. Make sure you're working towards that for your tribe. You know, and you're like, oh, well, you know, I really wanted to be in government, Scott, and now you're bloody, you know, I'm halfway up the GOP ladder, but now, you know, I'm not so sure. It's like, no, that's fine. You can stay in the GOP. Or you can stay in the Democratic Party or, you know, whatever. It's like, just make sure you're doing it for your tribe, not for corporates, not for the culture, not for big pharma or big whatever, big tech. You know, I'm like, make sure whatever you do, that your whatever your gift is, do it as unto the Lord and for your tribe, for your people and your place. And don't worry about your talent. You know, don't worry about how good or bad you are at it. Like friend, enemy. You know, it's this whole, like we said, of like, it doesn't matter if Alec Baldwin shoots a guy because the media are like, oh, he's our guy. You know, that was a one talent move, buddy. But well, I mean, might have been a very good move for them if it was motivated. But it's like friend, enemy, man. If you're a friendly guy who loves his tribe, like just, man, work your gift and you'll be honored for it. And then as far as scale of network, you know, this is where we have to take the multi-generational view. You know, number one, I'm building the network, you know, fruitfulness and multiplication through my life of, you know, of family and children and all of that. That's obviously number one. Like don't expect your children to go into the world and leave the network. No, build for your children to inherit the network, to take on the network, to live their whole life inside the network. You know, the Amish vibe, you know, of like English, us, them. You know, the English, yeah, they're a bunch of retards. It's far better in than out, you know? And it's like the children are like, yeah. And then they're given a positive vision, you know, of like, okay, Jacob, you are 12 years old. Here's your farm, you know? And it's like, okay, Jacob, you're 16 years old. Here's your wife. And like, you know, whatever it is, but it's like, it's a meme, but the meme is helpful. They have a positive vision, you know, farm, learn a trade, milk the English, like absolutely plunder the English for all they have to build our tribe, to build our colony. Build your family, build your farm, build your trade, your business, whatever. But then, you know, this next thing as well is like to understand, you know, four dudes is a tribe, 12 dudes is a tribe. Like don't worry that you're not at 7,000 dudes. Don't worry that we don't have, you know, some tribe pack, you know, American tribal PAC, you know, we don't have our own APAC or whatever of like Anglo-American political action conference. Like we'll get there. We'll get there where we'll have conferences with thousands of people coming and you'll pay advocacy groups and we'll pay speakers and we'll pay authors and we'll pay media houses. And, you know, like we'll get there. We'll get there. But it starts with like three or four dudes, you know? And when you realize that of like, you know, God multiplies what we steward, you know? So it's like, if you just have four dudes, you're in a tribe with four dudes and you're like, man, this blows. It's just four of us, you know, and we don't have this and we don't have that. And it's like, of course, God's not going to, you know, be like, oh, these are my guys. I'm going to bloody accelerate this. And it's like, okay, these guys need to go around the desert again. These guys need to go around the desert again. These guys need to go, you know, until you realize like, oh, wait, like it's on us. We're the kings that Christ is king of. Let's go crush with our four dudes. And then it's Jonathan and his armor bearer of like, oh, we'll, as two dudes, we'll take on 30 and God will deliver us. And God's like, sweet, these are my dudes, accelerate. You know, take your four dudes and it's like, okay, what can we build tribally together? You know, it just starts with the simplest things of like, this is my domain. Like I'm really good at media. So like, I'm going to start finding other dudes who are doing media stuff. And you know, another guy's really good at economy and he's like, yeah, I build businesses or I do property or I do finance or whatever. I'm going to get a couple of guys and we're going to do some projects. You know, another guy's good at politics or whatever. It's like, I'm going to get a couple of guys. Another guy's in the academia, you know, realm. So I'm going to get a few guys. Like, what are the projects that you can start doing for taking care of the interests of your tribe, of your people and your place? And man, if it just starts with four dudes and then it grows to 12 dudes, you know, maybe by the time your children come, it's grown to 40 or 120 or praise God, 7,000. But it's not about how many numbers we get. It's, are we working? Are we doing? Are we stepping out towards what God has for us? Afro Interrex, if there is a silver lining to the Orange Man era, is that we see tribes forming subtly. Definitely, man. I think here was the great joy of the Orange Man Bad era was that, number one, he was a terrible Nazi. You know, he was a terrible savior. He was a terrible our guy, you know, because everyone's like, he's going to save us. And it's like, no, didn't save us. Like, you're not voting your way out of this. And then secondly, he absolutely exposed that we're not in control, that we don't have the levers of power and culture. He absolutely exposed media, academia, ministry, the banking, you know, politics, the justice. Like, he exposed everything. And it's like, whoa, like, we can see, like, beautiful. And then thirdly, it's like, okay, now that we see, and now that he's not going to do anything, we need to do something. And it's like, praise God, man. Praise God. Nick, welcome, brother. Faith pilled. Praise God. Andrew, welcome, brother. Our enemies seized their power through the control of worldwide usury and central banking. Our best attack vector is using a currency they don't control that still builds trust in our community. Everything else will follow for our people: political power, cultural influence, and control over the sword. Yeah, it's so important, man. You know, it's so important, this thing of economy and currency and banking. And, you know, I think there's a lot of good stuff going on, you know, from the Bitcoin dudes to, you know, a bunch of guys getting together and just being like, all right, you know, it literally is the Amish. You know, the Amish is all about cash and property and productive trades and productive land. And it's like, they are off the system. You know, they are off the banking system. They are off the currency system. It's like, oh, Scott, they use currency. They use the dollar. And it's like, I don't think they store the dollar. I think everything's stored in land and equipment and animals and, you know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. John, that's right. The earth belongs to us. We need to believe this. That's right. It's all about framing, chaps. You know, we don't go around thinking politically. We go around thinking dominion mindset, king energy, king mindset. You know, of like, God is blessing us. God is going to plunder our enemies in front of us. God's going to crush our enemies in front of us. We need to do what we are called to do. What are we called to do? Patriarchy, localism, tribalism. God will take care of us. God will direct our steps. God will bless us. God will provide. God will protect. God will promote us. You know, it's a crazy white pill. And I think that's it. You know, Andrew, like, the wisdom will come. The wisdom of how to evade and avoid clowns, it will come. You know, the technology and the you know, technology is just wisdom. You know, it's wisdom applied. It'll come. You know, if it's already here, it's like, then God will reveal it to us. You know, so praise God. Praise God. So, gentlemen, in all of this, I just want to encourage you guys, switch off caring about politics. You know, it doesn't have to be religious, like, oh, politics, oh, get it. You know, I'm like, no, it's just like, ha, doesn't concern me. It's like, of course it concerns you, Scott. Abortion and gay rights and mandates. And it's like, no. Like, obviously it affects me, but it doesn't concern me. Like, I have zero power except to outrage or fold. So it's like, I don't care about the news. You'll always hear if there's absolutely earth-shaking stuff. Like, you'll always hear about it. So don't worry about trying to keep up with everything. Focus on what you are building. You lead the news cycle. What's the news cycle? Your life. Lead the news cycle of your life. You know, what are you doing? What is your family doing? What is your local area doing? What is your tribe doing? That is what matters. Like, that's what you should be keeping your focus and your energy and your attention on. You know, and if anything outrages you, if anything makes you fearful and afraid, like, just so, God, do you see me? Yes, I see you. Okay, that doesn't really matter. I can't control it. No, I can't control it. Okay, focus back on what matters. This is what matters. Focus here. Work here. So, praise God, gentlemen. Have a wonderful evening further. We will see you tomorrow, 4 p.m. EST. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And inshallah.